Father Brian gave you most of the important details of what has happened since this past June and where things are at now, but I know that people may still have some questions, and if anyone wants to talk to me individually, I'd be happy to do so. While I am grateful to have been cleared of the false accusations against me, I also know that I'm not completely without blame in all this. Some people have said that perhaps I should have made an announcement when I first arrived at St. Michael's last year, that there had been this incident in my previous parishes. In hindsight, it looks like that would have been a good idea. Although the Archbishop and Father Brian will say that it's their fault for not forcing the issue, it was really my reluctance that led to the decision not to say anything. I hope you can accept that there was no intention to hide the truth. As you can imagine, this whole situation is deeply personal. As I had only just arrived here at St. Michael's, it's not easy to share something so intimate. But now, I'm happy to share a few things, not so much about what happened, but what I've learned. This week will mark 11 years since I was ordained a deacon. Many people are not aware that a priest actually makes his promise of celibacy when he is ordained a deacon, not at the priesthood ordination. In that ceremony, the archbishop asks, "In the presence of God and his church, are you resolved, as a sign of your interior dedication to Christ, to remain celibate for the sake of the kingdom and in lifelong service to God and mankind?" The desire to be married was always very strong in me, and thus it took a rather long journey to get to ordination day. But when the day finally arrived, I was in love with God and was happy to give myself totally to him in the gift of celibacy. I had never doubted this choice. I would normally tell people that even if Pope Francis were to allow priests to get married tomorrow, I wouldn't. I was so confident and didn't really think that anything could shake that. As you can imagine, this whole incident has been very humbling for me. But one of the most important things I learned was that I was actually too confident. I stopped being careful about guarding my heart, thinking that I was past all that and that nothing could ever shake my commitment to priesthood. Then I met a special new friend. While my intentions were innocent enough, the end result was that we got way too close emotionally. I was still committed to priesthood and celibacy, but all of a sudden the idea of celibacy and giving up marriage was no longer just an idea. It's one thing to say no to a future possibility of marriage on your ordination day, but a different experience reaffirming that no when there's a wonderful person who you care so much about standing right in front of you. Many people have told me, and perhaps you're thinking now, "Father, that just shows that you're human." Well, if you had any doubts that priests are human, I'm happy to dispel this myth. I and all priests are called to an incredible vocation that is pointed toward the supernatural, but we don't stop being real men. I am ultimately a miserable sinner, just like all of you, in need of God's mercy and saving grace. We're all in this together. To paraphrase St. Augustine, "For you, I am a priest, but with you, I am a Christian." Perhaps it's ultimately not too hard to imagine that a priest would have human qualities like everyone else, but I don't think that people imagine their priest struggling spiritually. At least when it comes to prayer and God, people seem to think that their priest is an expert. People turn to us for answers in the most challenging moments of life, almost expecting that we would have a simple answer all ready to go for the most complex of life's problems. Why did God allow my child to get sick? Why did God take my spouse from me? Why do bad things happen to good people? The best I can do at those times is just to be with people and hope that they know that I care and understand a little bit of their pain. People have told me that everything I have gone through these past years will serve to make me a better priest. Sometimes I wonder, But if that's true, I think it must be in that people will be able to see in me someone who understands their problems, because I too have struggled. One of the important things I've learned is that we should not try to struggle alone. I've come to understand the need to get professional help for myself and for others. I learned about codependency and how sometimes even a good desire to help someone can be a way we seek to fulfill our own needs. And I've learned a lot about grief and loss. There have been so many losses. I began to feel that God had abandoned me. I began second-guessing everything I had done. I thought that I had been doing what God wanted, but had I, what seemed so good, had now turned into a complete disaster. This is when I knew I really needed help. I tried different counselors here at home, and as Father Brian mentioned, I even went away for several months to an intensive counseling program. I made a 30-day silent retreat. I just wanted to find healing and peace. Coming to St. Michael's last January, I felt like I was finally starting to be able to move forward. But then this past June, the Facebook accusation came out, and I sunk to a new low and was on the point of despair. Sometimes the mental pain gets so great that you would do anything to stop the pain. Some of you have been there. I can truly sympathize. When I prepare young couples for marriage, I always tell them, there will come a time in your marriage when you are at the end of your rope and you are ready to leave. You don't feel in love anymore. You protest, this is not what I signed up for. There will be a day when everything else is gone and the absolute last and only thing keeping you in your marriage is the knowledge that you made solemn promises to God until death do you part. These last months, my own words seemed now to be turned around and aimed at me. I was really considering what I would do if I were not a priest anymore. And it made me very sad because I didn't make a backup plan when I became a priest. This is my marriage, my lifetime commitment. In a beautiful gift of providence, a song came on the radio. I often listen to Christian music in my car, and a song began playing called All In by Matthew West. It was about going all in for Jesus and holding nothing back. I knew at that moment that I had a choice. I could leave. Lots of priests do it. People would understand. But there was a choice. What if instead of leaving, I made a total recommitment? I felt like I had nothing left to give. I didn't even feel like I loved God anymore. Yet this song had me thinking, instead of leaving, I could recommit myself, double down on the promises I had made to God in happier times. This is what we see in our readings today. Are you down to your last bit of flour? Give it to God. Go make a cake. Are you down to your last two coins? Give them to God. Trust completely. We sometimes ask how much we ought to give to God. Give it all. It's all His. That's what our readings teach us today. And that's what I decided to do. This is really when things started to get better. I was referred to a good Catholic doctor who assured me that there was no way I could handle all this trauma on my own. There were some kind of receptors in my brain that were overloaded beyond my control. He referred me to a knowledgeable and compassionate Catholic psychiatrist who worked to find the right medication to help me. I've never been depressed in my life, so it was very humbling to admit that I needed this help. Then I finally found the right counselor to help me. She's a wonderful Catholic woman who's been so helpful. I am especially grateful for the love and support of so many friends and parishioners, but especially my family. My mom and dad are actually here today at St. Michael's for the first time. My mom has been very wise in all this. At one point when I was distressed over all the suffering our family was going through because of me, she simply said, "Sean, we've received a lot of praise and attention just because our son is a priest. You have to take the suffering too. It's just part of it." Wise mom. Like Mary, mothers suffer a lot when their children suffer. But I also know that no suffering is wasted. It may take until heaven to figure out exactly how God works all this for good. But this is our great hope. I consider it more than a bit providential that my return to public ministry is taking place on the 243rd birthday of the United States Marine Corps and on Veterans Day weekend. My dad is an Army veteran, and my best friend is a retired Marine officer. Although God did not, unfortunately, give me the body of a Marine, my friend honors me by calling me a spiritual Marine. I know I have not been a very good Marine lately. I've lost battles that I had no business even being in and have made countless tactical mistakes. But I also know that I'm not done fighting. You never really lose until you quit. And I don't intend to quit. We are all in a battle that the enemy will ultimately lose, and we will win if we just don't give up. I resolve today that I'm committed to doing my best to keep fighting for my soul and yours. I can't promise you that I'll be the perfect priest, never fail again. But I promise you this, the fight is worth it, and I am all in.